Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I thought we sounded a little bit down last show, so I'm going to try and pick it up with some explosions, fireworks, kablamos.
That's just you clicking your fingers, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's all over the place. All the explosions and the fireworks happen inside that. The synapses of your brain, normally.
Damn right.
Don't know.
How have you been, Lukey?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Looking forward to... I'm off
getting
for
away.
A couple of weeks tomorrow, so... That'll be fun. My sister-in-law's getting married. Looking forward to that. And we'll also be there for Thanksgiving, which is always a good time, a fun time, a nice time. I think I'll try and do an episode with you while I'm over there.
Mm.
So I think what I'm going to do is I will log in to that thing they call the internet.
Right.
And we'll do a show over Skype or whatever. You'll be here. I'll be there. It'll be like the Bugle.
You're going to be, but less popular.
Yeah.
Are you going to be... interested in are you going to be okay recording, basically? That's
why
I worry.
Well, why?
You'll have to use your laptop to do Skype.
Well, I don't know how to do it, so you need to tell me to do it. So yeah, I'll need to get information on that. I'm happy doing it. You know me, Pete, we're completely opposite. I will just say I can do something and then work it out later. And you'll not ever do anything because you think you can't.
Yeah.
So I'll be full of the joys of fall in Vermont. But I'll be all the gear and no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it'll be fun. Anyway, what have you been up to?
I have spent a week tying up some loose ends, doing a couple of podcasts. Just my usual life, really, to be honest. Not as exciting as being in Helsinki at the weekend, but just had a fairly standard week.
And are you staying UK-based this weekend?
I'm going to be staying UK-based, let me tell you, until December.
Really? What's happening in December?
I'm going to the moon. I'm going.
Wow.
I'm going to
first tourist
SpaceX. Going to do some space touring.
Is it you, Elon Musk, and that caver guy who rescued those kids?
The miner. I don't talk about him anymore.
Why?
Because I don't know. He got accused of things by Elon Musk.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about him.
All right, then let's talk about him. What have you got to say about him?
I got nothing.
All right, okay. Good.
I just love poking you with a stick.
Okay. Good.
But yeah, so when you say just my normal life, really.
Mm.
What do you think people listening think of as your normal life?
Going home after work or in between jobs. So I get up at like 9, go to do whatever I want to do, what need to do.
No, but what do they think you're doing, do you think?
Just titting about.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like hard work. It doesn't sound like work, half the stuff that we do.
No, that's the thing.
So it just titting about is what people probably think that we're up to. Is that a hotel pen you stole from the hotel?
The Blakely in New York.
We stayed there in New York.
You don't steal it; they give you it. It's a pen.
Have you got an iron now? Have you got an extra iron?
Well, do you want one? I can get you one if you want.
Get you one, yeah. You stole one from every.
I always need a pen whenever I'm doing something. Yeah. I need to make. I don't know why. I'm just of that generation. I feel like I need to write stuff down.
Vociferous note writer.
But that's the thing. You're absolutely right. So you've tapped into something there. Like when people say, "Oh, the tour you did must have been amazing," and it was great. But a lot of the stuff that you have to do isn't seen.
Mm.
And it's the same with this, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly, just prep.
But would you rather be doing this or working back at the zoo?
Well, you don't get paid anything for the zoo. I get paid more here doing the ramble and that than I do working for the zoo. I'll tell you that much.
I'd love to work for a zoo.
Yeah, it's just long hours I think zookeepers, it's treated as a vocation, so zookeepers don't get paid the money commensurate with what they should be. Because at the end of the day, you know, a lot of people through the doors. animal, keeping those animals alive is very expensive, but I think zookeepers are criminally underpaid.
Because they take one thing away from this show.
They do it for the love of the job. Yeah. That's what I don't like.
It's the same with people who... It feels to me that when people say it's a vocation, I know you weren't saying this, but that's what people say. They kind of use it as an excuse to not pay them properly.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about how expensive it is to keep animals. It must be mad.
Insane. Like, well, just imagine being able to keep a penguin, just like, you know, refrigeration and warmth in the winter and stuff. It's just, it would be just impossible, especially if you've only got a small collection of animals as well.
They're very unfussy eaters, though.
They are very unfussy eaters.
Probably feed them quite cheap. Load of fish.
But like Tropical Monkey House has to be a ridiculous heat all of the time.
But they eat berries, though.
Yeah, but like a little bit of meat and stuff. But like, I was watching some Emperor Tamarins on the telly last night, and I was thinking, yeah, to keep the Tropical Monkey House at the zoo that I used to work in, it used to be so hot all of the time.
Yeah.
And they are covered in fur, and I do sort of want to go, do they necessarily need that amount of heat? I know they're used to that heat. Yeah. But these are not Emperor Tamarins that grew up in the jungle. They grew up in captivity, so just give them. You could probably just knock the heat down.
A couple of notches down. See what happens.
Pay the zookeepers a bit more. See what happens.
If one of them drops off a branch, turn it back up again.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was a brilliant bit in that Seven Worlds, One Planet Attenborough series. The other week, I've lost track of all the months and weeks because of what we've been doing, but it was an episode, I think it was the South American episode, and there's, I don't know if you saw it, Pete, but there was these this troop of monkeys. I forget what they were called, but they're the ones with the big prehensile tails, like the
okay.
I can't remember what they were called, but anyway, it doesn't matter. They'd jump around the trees in the rainforest, and what you noticed after a while of watching them just doing their thing, and obviously they're looking for berries, right, is a shoal of fish in the river below them is following them.
Oh, right.
These fish have developed amazing eyesight and they're following monkeys wherever they go. And the reason they're following them is because the monkeys are so messy in terms of how they eat.
They just drop
the berries into the river and the fish eat them.
Ah.
And then when the monkeys move on, because they've had enough, the fish stay there and they jump out of the river and grab the low-lying berries on the branches.
Now, I saw them when the skybox always resets at Absolute Radio, and I watched a fish jump out of the river and eat a berry. But I was talking about, I don't know, blossoms on air while it happened, and I was like, I've never seen that before. A fish has jumped out of the water and grabbed itself a berry and then went back in again.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I'm someone who takes an interest in the natural world, and we talk about animals and wildlife a lot on this show. I think it's something that we're both interested in. And on that Attenborough series, I'm 39 now, and it's 2019, and I'm still seeing quite large mammals that I've never heard of before. Not just like an insect. You know, like when you have there's 5 million types of fly in the world or whatever, and you think, fuck, it's boring. They're all essentially the same, aren't they? But when you see like a new mammal that you've never heard of before, there was one on that show that I think a puma was trying to hunt. It was big. Mm. It looked a bit like a cross between a camel and an antelope, and I'd never seen it before.
Right, okay.
What else is this world hiding from me?
Get in the sea. That's what they talk about, isn't it? There's so much stuff that yet to be explored under there.
Yeah.
It was like 30% we've looked at. Crazy. Yeah.
And you say we haven't looked at any of it, really.
I haven't looked at anything, no.
Looked at some of it in the Mediterranean on holiday.
Yeah.
That's it.
Did you see they found a wrecked submarine off the, I think it was the coast of Okinawa. From the Second World War.
Right.
They thought they'd never found it, but I think drones, some kind of company chucked a load of money in and used drone technology to find where this wreck would have been, and they managed to find it.
I'm pretty sure that scientists and marine biologists are convinced there's no big, what they call sort of like megafauna in the sea.
What do you mean, as in like
massive apex predators, because they can tell by the movement of the other animals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because some people think that there's like huge megalodons down there and stuff. Right. You seen that Jason Statham documentary? Seen it?
Sharknado. Was
it? He's in that movie called The Meg.
My God. It's a megalodon.
Oh, right.
And the thing about that is, Pete, is that I don't care what anyone says, it is enjoyable.
Mm.
You watch it, you know what you're getting into. It's called The Meg. It's about a 50-foot shark with massive jaws, and Jason Statham's going to do some mad stuff, and it's enjoyable because of it. You're not going there under any pretenses.
I used to go with a girl whose brother was in a band called Megalodon. There you go.
Any good?
They had a member of a person who was in the office once.
Okay.
That's all I've got.
This is weird. What kind of music did they play? Were they as good as One-Eyed Willie?
No, no. Oh, I had a dream last night. Me and you had to do some kind of Lugapeak live show, but it basically involved us with lofty ambitions doing some kind of musical number. But it meant that we both had to play guitars, and we'd got to almost the point, and I realised that I didn't know one of the chords from one of the songs that we used to do in One-Eyed Willie. And then I realised quite late on that you'd never heard One-Eyed Willie and didn't know any of the songs that we were doing. So therefore, the show was going to be an absolute nightmare because neither of us knew any of the songs that we used to do.
This is a variation of a dream I have quite a lot.
Right.
Where I go on stage in front of loads of people with a guitar around me and I don't know the songs.
Yeah. Well, have you got the radio? I mean, do you press the buttons on the radio or does somebody else do it?
No, someone else
like Fed and stuff. So, yeah. I think for anybody using radio machinery has the same DJ anxiety dream where they just they turn up and nothing's working.
Yeah.
Where in real life, if I turn up and nothing's working, I'm happy because it's not my fault. but in my dream, I'm really anxious that the boss is going to turn up and the buttons are not working.
But you can't mean you're happy. You're not happy.
I am a little bit happy. I love it when
you take pleasure in it.
I do a little bit.
Yeah.
You know when tech goes wrong and you're like, this has nothing to do with me. It's so beautiful.
That's quite revealing of your personality.
Well, because I'm blamed for everything else in my life.
That's probably true.
It's just nice to have something go wrong that has nothing to do with me and I can't help it. Even though, fundamentally, it does impact on me.
Now,
it does reflect badly on me.
When I'm on the radio, all I've got to worry about is someone in that ear,
right.
A screen where I've got to read something, three co-hosts, and an eye on the clock.
Piece of piss. Sounds like a piece of piss.
And the great thing about that is also, if you get a bit short of things to do in that scenario, you've always got a lot of people on Twitter calling you a cunt. So
yeah. You
can always get that as a bit of a... I had one yesterday. I was on the radio yesterday and I had... I'm doing my best. Just doing my job.
I'm doing my best.
It's a fine show. Nothing went wrong.
Look, the radio station that you work for will have men of a certain age who feel very comfortable in their own skin. Uncomfortable in their own skin, but very comfortable in letting people know their opinions on Twitter.
I looked over at the Twitter console and just the first thing that popped up, you're not Danny Kelly, you're a cunt.
Oh, okay.
So, probably, I mean, it's not inaccurate.
At least Danny knows the number.
It's not inaccurate. But no, I don't do the buttons. I mean, that would be a recipe for disaster. Before we move on from the wildlife chat, I noticed this week a story about a deer that was spotted with three antlers.
Okay. It's like the dog with the tail on its head.
Yes, it is very similar to that. And I never really considered this before, but apparently it's like a one in a million thing.
Right.
It's a bit like seeing like a four-leaf clover or something. One in a million three-antler deer spotted in the US. It's in Michigan. And a retired guy was out there with his camera taking some photos of some wildlife. And he said he's done it every day since 2012. And it's the first time he's ever seen a three-antlered deer.
That's a lot of shots, wasn't it? Going out every day taking pictures of wildlife.
The thing that got me sad about it is that if any hunter sees that, they're going to want to kill it straight away.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, because it's prize, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
It's really sad.
Never mind.
Yeah, interesting, though.
I mean, but that said, if they did kill it, it would make a great hat stand.
And Peter.
Oh, wow, I'm saying it was.
And the it's funny because the story finished with the guy. I think he's called Steve Lindbergh. I think he was called Steve Lindbergh. And he said, sadly, he can't share the enjoyment of seeing the three antlered deer on because he's got his own Facebook page where he posts a wildlife photo every day. It's quite a nice idea. It's quite a cute thing for like a retired guy to do. And he said he's had to disable comments on that. Because everyone's just calling him a liar and telling him he's photoshopping it. And then the other comments have said, I want to know where it is because I want to kill it. So there's the internet in a nutshell.
Fantastic.
You're welcome to it.
That is Facebook.
You're welcome to it.
Wonderful. Do you see that somebody was selling their, they'd had their dog stuffed and turned into a little mat. So a little mat.
See, I can't get with that.
I can't get with that. Like, you know, like you have lions' mats where it's just like, it's just a bit of their skin extrapolated, let's say, on them as a mat, and then the head of the animal stuffed. He said the remaining dog that still lived that's still alive. They had to get rid of this map because he just kept on going over and humping it.
Oh my god!
Humping his friend who obviously used to hang out with every day.
That's so sad.
It died, and the other dog just started humping.
Isn't that really sad?
His body a little bit, but
what do you think about people like taxidermying their pets when they're dead? By the way.
Yeah, no, don't do it while they're alive. It's just not good. But then you do love them, don't you? And you would like to see them again. And
oh, mate.
It's not like dogs talk.
The love you have for your pets is mad.
It's not like a dog or a cat can really talk. So them being there just in the corner of the room would, you know, give you a little heartening. But they'd just get it wrong, wouldn't they?
It wouldn't be the same. For me, it's a reminder.
Yeah.
You know,
but animals are brilliant, and you just want to hang out with them all the time.
But with cats, obviously I've got two cats, and they do a lot of sleeping. So if I was if someone came down to me and said one of your cats has died, you're going to have it taxidermied. There's no choice.
Yeah.
I would request it in that circle sleep position.
Oh, like having a little snooze,
so I could just put it somewhere and think it would be sleeping. It's just too sad. Do you know what? I interviewed a very prominent footballer once, a household name, and we were just chatting around, and he had a dog.
Mm.
And we were just shooting the shit. I was getting some sound levels while we were waiting to record. And I said, oh, lovely dog he got there. He said, yeah, we just got her. She's lovely. She's great. Beautiful. Beautiful. I can't remember what type of dog it was now. But I remember at the time thinking, God, it's a really beautiful dog. And he said, yeah, she's only a puppy. So, you know, it's a bit hectic. But it's really great because we had our last dog sadly passed away, got old and died. And I said, oh, yeah, it's terrible when a pet dies. It's almost like losing a family member. And he looked at me dead in the eye and went, it's much worse than losing any of my family. He was well into it.
Wow.
Yeah, so pretty intense. That's what dogs can do to you.
Yeah.
While we're thinking about that, let's have a little ad break. And when we come back, we'll do some of your emails.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey y'all, it's Farmer Meemaw, and today I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
It's not really a season, but I've not seen a moth in my kitchen for quite a while. Maybe I've won the battle.
The woman there who's trying to sort out the pantry moth situation, what does she call herself?
Farmer Meemaw.
Farmer Meemaw?
Yeah, she's Farmer Meemaw.
I didn't know that. I just kind of that just glossed over me really for a while. Anyway, shout out Farmer Mima for dealing with the pantry moss situation. You got an email there, Peter?
Oh, I was just looking at Farmer Mima there. Hello to Glenn. Hi, I heard you talk about Morrison's mince pie sandwiches. I'm not sure they can be trusted, as a few years ago they served savoury donuts in their shops alongside other sandwiches. You could get a chicken salad donut, which was basically a sugarless jam donut with chicken and rocket leaves stuffed inside it.
Get fucked.
Get fucked. It was okay to eat at first, but 15 minutes later it just felt like you'd eaten a pebble because your stomach attempted to digest the impossible. I can't imagine how this idea even came about other than Morrison's trying to monopolise on the purchase of some deep fat frying equipment. It's like Boris Johnson deciding to make like a Parliament Square Ibiza foam party with one of those cannons that he bought as mayor.
I can't think of anything more depressing than that.
What do you mean? Boris Johnson on a big water cannon
in a pair of speedos
that he bought for the London riots, just kind of firing, you know, making a load of foam.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It's absolutely amazing that let's just say, without getting overly political, the things that people get away with
these days
is unbelievable.
He couldn't sing the wheels on the bus last week.
I mean, we are talking about a man, right, who wants to lead the UK, okay, and is currently leading the UK, who does not know the words to the wheels on the bus. It's not a difficult song.
Not a hands-on dad.
I'm not asking him to strap on a six-string guitar and play the whole of a Steely Dan solo. This is the wheels on the bus.
Yeah.
Specifically designed so a three-year-old can sing it.
He's a man obsessed with buses. He should fucking know that song.
If anything, it's right in his wheelhouse.
And his wheelhouse is a bus station.
He likes making buses out of wine boxes.
I like making buses.
Yeah, incredible. Anyway, what were you talking about?
I can't remember now.
You're doing an email, weren't you?
I was doing an email. That was it. Yeah, I was just saying that. I've
deleted, oh yeah, savoury donuts.
Savoury donuts.
Oh, and mince pie. Oh, and speaking of mince pies, my wife and I have got a mince pie rating chart this year. So every mince pie we eat, we rate it.
Yeah.
On the quality of the pastry, the filling, the overall Christmassy feel, all that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you guys now, it's not finished yet. It's not completed. But so far, the Sainsbury's in-store bakery mince pies are winning by a landslide. So that's worth pointing out.
And I'm angry with your wife.
Go on.
She did the flip up.
Join the club.
I do.
Oh, she did. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. During the Football Rumble tour, I was trying to perfect what could only be described as a Shawn Michaels kind of flip up from the floor kind of trick. I don't know what you could call it.
But, so it reminds me of, whenever I see it, I think of Johnny in Karate Kid.
Yeah, like a flip up. And she managed to do it, and I was just upsetting.
Yeah, it was kind of annoying because I said to her, oh, because she mentioned it because she saw the show and she saw you trying to do it. And she went, oh, I think I could probably do that. And I was like, all right, we'll do it then. And she went, okay. And she said, I'll do it when I get back from Pilates because I'll be warmed up. She got back from Pilates, she said, get your camera out. I filmed it. It took her three attempts and she did it.
Yeah. Annoying, isn't it?
Kind of annoying.
Well, she's not nearly 11 and a half stone, so that's what I'm saying. It's harder to do.
Mate.
I'm like the Millennium Falcon.
What?
Compared to a smaller ship. I'm a freighter. She's like Starbug from Red Dwarf.
Where are you going with this?
I'm just saying.
Don't make up
I don't know Star Wars enough, so I had to move on to a different sci-fi show to think of a small ship.
But you're not, you're not a powerhouse anyway, though, are you?
What do you
That's
mean?
The sort of thing that like a big American football player would say. Oh yeah, I'm built for strength, not speed.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
Compared
you're not
to...
built for either. Are you? You're 11 and a half stone, you've got asthma.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Big man.
I'm still scared of you. You know, we were talking a second ago there about eating weird food. I did a thing that I haven't done for ages, and I think it might be because we had the water turned off in our house.
Right. Drank your piss?
No. Yeah, I did the sting.
Yeah.
No, I ate a load of food in a row, and then I really regretted it afterwards. I ate a Marks and Spencer ready meal curry.
Yeah.
Then I had four chicken and chorizo empanadas.
Okay.
Then a whole big family size of prawn cocktail shells.
What's a prawn cocktail
this
shell?
This is what they call skips, because they can't.
Sorry, right.
Yeah,
okay,
they can't say skips, not allowed. And then I had a Belgian bun, iced Belgian bun.
A Belgian bun.
It was probably about 4,000 calories in that 10 minutes.
I mean, that's heavy, isn't it? That is...
Yeah, it's bad. I did a radio show after that as well.
That's just making you
Might
sleepy.
Be what that guy called me a cunt, actually. I was like this. Nodded off on the microphone. I once did a radio show of a guy. I'm not going to name him because it's be unprofessional. Although he was being very unprofessional. Where I was... I was hosting it.
Mm.
He turned up late, quite hungover. And I'm not joking, Pete. Sometimes in the middle of questions, he was falling asleep onto the microphone. Like that.
Who was that? I'm not telling you. Yeah.
People could probably read between the lines. Anyway, hello at Luke and Pete Show is the email address. Thank you for ever sending that one in. I don't know who it was. What about this one from Leo? Leo, he says, dear Donnie and Luke the Gammon Moore. In 199.67, you went on a walk down Saturday night TV shows lane. Expanding the conversation, though, the king of all lost TV programmes has to be The Big Breakfast.
A fresh bowl of breakfast now and four being thrown your way.
Now, of course, Big Breakfast, it wasn't a Saturday night show. It was a midweek breakfast show.
Yeah.
I remember it being, I think it ran from like the early 90s right through the millennium for a year or two. But I remember it being the go-to TV show in the morning among my friends at school.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those ones where the main presenters, there were so many main presenters, but nobody remembers them.
Didn't your mate Richard Bacon get his break on that?
Bacon, Paul Tonkinson had it. Yeah, he was. Richard Bacon was, I think he was like a co-presenter for a little while because he was on the bed for a bit, wasn't he?
I remember him doing Streaky Bacon where he'd knock on people's doors and make them run down the street naked.
Yeah.
And they get a prize.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, so there's people like Mike McLean. Do you remember him?
No.
It's like a man can't talk like that. Hey, you all right? How's it going?
That sounds Manchester. Like Paul Tonkinson.
Yeah, it's similar sort of. He's more a bit like this. All right, I'm Paul Tonkinson.
That sounds like John Shuttleworth.
All right. No, it's Paul Tonkinson. He talks like this.
Yeah.
All right, Ken. Yeah. I've got a list of, right here, of main Big Breakfast presenters. I would like you to name Chris Evans, Denise Van Outen, Gabby Roslin. Those three are taken off the table.
Okay.
I need five more.
I handed over to one of them last night on the radio, Paul Ross.
Paul Ross, yes, he's with us. Yeah. 94 to 95.
Johnny Vaughan,
he was. Yeah, he was on in there as well. Why is he not on this list? He was a main presenter. He was like a co-presenter, I guess. Yeah, okay.
Didn't Kelly Brook, like, controversially do it for a while?
Kelly Brook did it, yes, that's correct.
Zoe Ball,
yes, 1996.
I got a feeling the guy from Neighbours did it.
What's his name?
Joe Mangle.
Yeah.
Is it Mark Little?
Yes!
Yeah. There was loads of presenters on it, wasn't
there? There's loads of presenters. They were just trying to kind of like grab the headlines from back in the disc. They were just finding, in 2000 to 2002, Paul Tonkinson, Donna Eyre.
Oh, yeah.
Baker did it. Amanda Byram, Mike McLean, Lisa Rogers, somebody called Rick Adams.
That was
Sharon Davies.
Did she do it?
Yeah, she did it.
Donna Eyre, that was when she asked the cause how they knew each other.
Yes.
Wasn't it? But one thing that's absolutely fascinating about The Big Breakfast, so it was on every morning and you'd put it on before you went to school or whatever, or people were getting ready for work. And it was kind of like, if you were too young and fancied yourself as being a bit too hip to want to watch the news in the morning, you'd watch The Big Breakfast.
I loved it.
Yeah, there were news elements about it, but it was completely chaotic. But I looked it up when I saw this email yesterday. I looked it up and I made a note of it. During the school holidays, The Big Breakfast became The Bigger Breakfast. And it was 5.5 hours long.
Yeah.
Live TV for 5.5 hours.
But I think they would introduce cartoons before 6.
Oh, right, okay.
For the youngsters getting up nice and early.
But it had so many features, so many ideas. I remember my mate Jimmy was massively into like some of the features, like More TV Vicar and all the rest of it. It was kind of interesting. It's one of those almost time capsule type shows. Yeah. It's impossible for it to. I really hope they don't bring it back and try. Look what we're doing. We're bringing it back.
Oh, they tried to bring it back a million times, didn't
they? Did they?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be as good now.
No. Zig and Zag are ill. Zig and Zag are nearly. They're on the deathbed.
They were brought across from an Irish TV show, weren't they?
Yeah. So it's just weird, but it was just kind of like a mishmash, and people don't attempt exciting live shows like that anymore. They don't let anything fail. So like, you got stuff like, I don't know, Last Leg and stuff like that. And it's a very formulaic kind of, you know, Daily Mash sort of thing. It's quite formulaic. It's, you know, good in parts, but like, it is just, we are entrusting people who can perform. It's, you know, no general public kind of interaction sort of thing. Just, it's just a bit too safe for me right now. Remember when they used to have Richard Not Judy? We've spoken about this show before.
Yes,
but like,
yeah, I do.
This morning, Richard Not Judy, where it's just them doing an hour of live comedy that they'd written throughout the week and they just perform it. It's just like incredible, really.
You don't really get that now.
No, you really don't.
Which is surprising because...
There's so much more comedy around.
And there's more channels, more platforms for it as well.
It's just expensive. Just a big team.
Maybe.
Lots of cameras, big studio you got to hire and stuff like that every week.
So was The Big Breakfast a Chris Evans vehicle?
What do you mean, like?
As in, was it his baby, the producer?
No, I think he was just a launch presenter on it. I don't think he was...
I thought it would have been like Danny Baker involved writing it and all the rest of it, but apparently he wasn't involved in that. TFI Friday and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think TFI Friday and Don't Forget Your Toothbrush. Don't Forget Your Toothbrush was more him.
Right.
But I think Big Breakfast was the place that he found his fame. He's only there for 2 years.
Moved on.
Interesting.
Great stuff. It was a golden era for TV, and I'll maintain that. Maybe it's just my age, but I mean, Big Breakfast, of course, was a breakfast show, but Saturday Night TV then was just so good. I mean, you know, I know he's had his problems, and I don't want to get into all that. I mean, you've talked a bit about your encounters with him. Maybe we've mentioned this before, but Michael Barrymore, if you watch him on TV, he's so good.
You have expressed that.
He's just so good. It's really, really talented.
I know, and he had his career... I've said it before. I think he had his career ruined because he was a gay man and an amp gay man in 1990s, 2000s Britain.
Even in the media industry, I mean, come on.
No, but like the way that he was martyred by, the way he was destroyed by the newspapers. I mean, obviously, it was a horrible thing that happened, but there was a lot of very salacious
innuendo
bollocks that went on at the time.
I just think he was a very talented presenter.
He was a very talented presenter. But there were and continue to be a lot of talented presenters, but there aren't many opportunities for them nowadays because... they would rather put reality. I sound like an embittered presenter, but I am.
Your showreel is available from
but my showreel is available the usual places. YouTube. But yeah, they don't put anyone on air who isn't a reality TV guy. But then you look at someone like Rylan, who's quite good at it.
Oh, he's very
quite
good
at presenting. He's quite charismatic.
Give us another email before we get out of here.
All right then. Sorry, I had the Big Brother Big Breakfast Wikipedia open. Hi boys. I hope Luke managed to read this and keep it away from Pete. I thought of a good way to find out if Pete is well and truly part internet. Can Pete, the nearest thousand, guess how many people are watching porn per second? So I'm throwing it to Luke.
I don't know if I could really have the tools to... do you mean worldwide or UK?
How many people are in the world?
7 billion.
7 billion, right.
I don't know how many of them are actually internet, though.
Yeah, exactly. So say half of those people have access to reliable streaming internet.
How many people have access to the internet? I'm just Googling it now. 4.33 billion of July 2019.
Okay.
56% of the global population.
So how many people are watching porn per second?
100 million.
28,258. Look, you can't be watching porn all the time.
No, I don't really understand the question. 28,000 per second. Watching. What does it mean, though?
Well, people are going to be logging off and logging on, aren't they? Once they're finished.
How is this?
Unless one person is doing it 24 hours.
It's baffling. Yeah. Who sent that email in?
Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Never email again.
For each Luke and Pete show, over 50 million people are watching porn.
Oh, God.
Let's just hope
that's a disgusting measurement.
Listening to the show at the same time. I cannot think of anything that would... stop the wolf from the door.
I cannot think of more of an overwhelming of the senses than that.
Disgusting.
That's the only way to end this show. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you have a lovely weekend. We'll be back next week. I'm in the US for the foreseeable few weeks, but we'll work something out. I'm sure it'll be lots of fun. Thanks a lot. Speak soon.
Get your hands out of your trousers.
Was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find
time now. I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.